The first reading is taken from Psalm 66, reading verses 1 to 12. It can be found on page 480. Psalm 66, beginning to read at verse 1. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds towards the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There we did rejoice in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You have brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. This is the word of the Lord.
Second reading is taken from Psalm 67. All of Psalm 67, you'll find it on the Pew Bibles on page 481. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. And happy new year to you. It's a time of year when we reflect on our lives, isn't it? It's a time of year when perhaps one or two of you have made a New Year resolution. Perhaps you've decided that you're going to give something up. Maybe you're going to eat less chocolate in 2020. Maybe you're going to drink less alcohol. Or maybe you've decided that you're going to do something positive and worthwhile. Maybe this is the year that you get fit and healthy. Perhaps, like many others, you've taken out a gym membership. Maybe you're going to walk more. Or maybe you've decided, like Aaron, that in 2020 you're going to read the Bible more. Maybe you're committing to reading the Bible in a year. And there's certainly many reading structures and helpful apps that can help you to do that. As we've heard, Johnny Mayer is working his way through the Bible this year with the teenagers and the Eureka group. And it's not too late to join with them, so speak to Johnny at the end if that's something you'd like to do. Maybe you've decided that in 2020 you're going to share the gospel more. Have you thought about that? Maybe this is the year that you're going to share the gospel more regularly and with more and more people. And as we think about that, it's quite daunting, isn't it? It can be quite daunting sharing the gospel. You know, you need to pluck up the courage. And then once you've plucked up the courage, well, how do you start the conversation? What do you say? What are the things that you are supposed to cover? What are the things that you can't leave out? Well, I heard a very helpful summary of the gospel recently by a guy called Tim Keller. I'm sure he's known to many of us here this morning, an American writer and pastor of a church that are based in New York City. And he says that when you share the gospel, you've got to cover four things. You've got to share four things. You've got to talk about God. You've got to talk about sin. You've got to talk about Christ. and you've got to talk about faith. Those are the four things. God, sin, Christ, faith. Because you see, the gospel begins with God. God is the creator. He is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. God is wise. God is love. We ought to live for God. We need to live for God. But the fact is that we don't because of sin. That's the second thing. We don't live for God because of the sin in our lives. That's our human pride, our self-centeredness. The fact that we want to be number one in our lives, we want to rule our own lives, that destroys our relationship with God. The fact that it destroys our relationship with one another as well. But the good news is that in Jesus Christ, God has come into the world to rescue us, to save us, to save us from our sin, to save us from death. Because you see, death is what we deserve. That's the penalty that we deserve. But God in his grace offers us a way back to him, a restored relationship with him. And it's all through the life, death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so as we consider those three things, we need to respond. And I pray that you would respond in faith. Respond in faith by trusting and believing in the Lord Jesus. God, sin, Christ, faith. That's the gospel in summary. And it's interesting, with that in mind, when you think about what it is that we do when we meet together like this on a Sunday morning, because first of all, we sing songs of praise, don't we? We sing songs of praise to God. And in these songs, we learn about who God is and how great he is and how powerful and majestic he is. We learn about his love for us and we sing out to him in praise. When we meet together like this on a Sunday morning, we also confess our sins. We take time to look at our own lives, to examine our lives, and think about the fact that we're not living as we ought. We're doing things that we shouldn't. We don't do the things that we should. And so we confess our sins together. And when we meet together like this on a Sunday morning, we hear God's word being read and we hear God's word being preached. And that's where we learn about what God has done about this great problem of sin in our lives. That through the Lord Jesus, he offers us a way back to him. A restored relationship with him. He offers us the free gift of salvation. And as we consider these things, as we consider God, as we consider our sin, as we consider God's great plan of salvation through the Lord Jesus, then we need to respond. And we respond in many different ways on a Sunday morning, don't we? We might respond again by singing out in praise. You might respond with a renewed commitment to serve and trust the Lord. Some of you may respond by rejecting what you've heard. You may respond by rejecting God. Some may respond by giving of their resources, your time, your money. Sometimes we respond by gathering in fellowship as we take the bread and wine together. You might respond by going out into the community and beyond and serving God's mission. We respond in a number of different ways in faith. But you see what's happening when we meet together like this on a Sunday morning? We're really reliving the gospel together. We're living out the gospel together. God, sin, Christ, faith. We're going through all of that together. And what I love about this psalm, if you still have your Bible open, we're looking at Psalm 67. What I love about this psalm is the psalmist covers these four aspects of the gospel in this song. But just before we turn to look at God's word together, let's bow before him in a word of prayer. Father, we acknowledge that every good thing comes from your hand, and so we thank you for this, a new year. And we thank you for this opportunity that we have to meet together this morning. We thank you for the great truths contained in the songs that we've sung together. And we thank you that your word tells us that you inhabit the praises of your people. And so we thank you for your presence here amongst us this morning. Father, as we turn to your word, we give you thanks for the scriptures. I thank you for the great privilege it is to preach from your word, and I pray that you would help me to speak clearly. I pray that you would help all of us, that you would give us ears to hear your word, that you would give us soft hearts to accept it. I pray that we might be challenged and yet encouraged at the same time as we consider this psalm together. Father, I pray that through the preaching of your word, it would be the Lord Jesus who would be exalted. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. King David is not actually mentioned as the writer of this psalm, but it's generally agreed that he wrote this psalm. And if we assume that this morning, the thing, as I say, that I love about this psalm is that he covers these four aspects of the gospel in this short song. In fact, he actually covers these four aspects of the gospel in the first two verses, if you notice with me. You see, he begins with God. God is his starting point. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Some of you may recognize those words as the blessing which God gave to Aaron and Moses in Numbers chapter 6. But this is David's starting point. He starts with God. He starts with the power and the majesty of God. And he goes on to talk a little bit more about the character of God in this psalm. He says that God is a just judge, and he shepherds and guides the nations. You see that in verse 4. And really his recurring theme as he works through this song is that God is worthy of our praise. So he starts with God. But David also recognizes our sin in this psalm. He says, may God be gracious to us. You see, we don't need God's grace unless we've sinned. Now, as you know, this psalm was written a long time before Jesus came to earth, but David recognizes God's plan of salvation. You see that in verse 2. May your saving power be known throughout the nations. So, we already see that David recognizes God. He recognizes our sin. He recognizes God's great plan of salvation, which ultimately comes through the Lord Jesus. But how are we to respond? What about faith? Well, that's really what I want to spend our time on this morning, because the majority of this psalm really focuses on how we are to respond. It really focuses on our call to action. Having considered God, having considered our sin, having considered God's great plan of salvation, how is it that we're supposed to respond? Well, I think this psalm tells us that we are all to be missionaries. We're all to be missionaries. We're all sent by God to serve his mission. And I can see two ways in this psalm in which we do that. I think we serve God's mission by sharing the truth. And I think we serve God's mission by being united as the people of God. So firstly, we serve God's mission by sharing the truth. You see that in verse 2. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. You see, when David says your way here, he's referring to God's law, he means God's word. So we are expected to go out into the nations and share God's word. But we're not expected to do it just in a general sense. We don't just generally go out and share God's word all the time. Specifically, we're supposed to talk about God's great plan of salvation. We're supposed to talk about the gospel. You see that? We're to make his saving power known throughout the nations. Later on in verse 4, David points out that God guides the nations. This is a word that's sometimes translated as shepherd. God shepherds the nations. That's really the message of the gospel, isn't it? That despite our sin, because of God's grace, he offers us a personal relationship with God as our shepherd. That's the message that we are supposed to share with everybody. Now I wonder whether you've got any friends or any family members or colleagues who say to you, listen, I don't mind that you're a Christian. In fact, I respect it. I just don't understand why you always feel the need to tell me about it. Why are you always telling other people about it? Why are you always trying to convert us? Just keep it to yourself. I know that I've got some friends like that. The fact is that they're asking us to do something that nobody else in society does. Because you see, if you go and see a good film, then when you go into work the next day or when you go and meet friends in a cafe the next day, what do? You say to them, have you seen such and such a film? Oh, you've not seen it. Oh, you've got to go and see it. It's such a good film. We do the same with sporting events. We do the same with musical concerts. If we've experienced something that we've enjoyed, that brings us joy, we want other people to experience it as well. Maybe the next time that sporting event or that concert is on in town, we would encourage people to go and see it. We might even invite them to come along with us. Because when we've experienced something that brings us joy, we want other people to experience that joy. That's just in our nature. Partly because we want them to have that same experience that we've had. But also, I think, because it completes our joy to have that sense of fellowship with other people. If that's true for films and sport and concerts, then how much more should it be true for the gospel? We are to tell others about Jesus. We are to make God's saving power known throughout the nations. So we serve God's mission by sharing the truth. But I think we also share God's mission by being united as the people of God. And I tell you the reason I say that is because as I read through this psalm, it doesn't really seem to be a personal song by David. Sure, he is the praise leader. He's the one leading the singing. But he's expecting this song to be sung by a choir. Do you see just how many times from verse 1 he refers to us? May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. God shall bless us. Yes, God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. David is expecting this song to be sung corporately by a choir. Do you know, I was over in Chester a few weekends ago, and as I was walking down one of the high streets of Chester, I became aware of this wonderful singing. But the strange thing was, I couldn't really work out where the singing was coming from. At one point, I thought it was up ahead of me. And then as I was walking, I could hear also voices from behind me singing this same song. And then as I looked left and as I looked right, I realised that I was right in the middle of this choir as they were making their way down Chester High Street, singing this amazing gospel song. I think the youngsters call it a flash mob. Here I was right in the middle of this flash mob, listening to this wonderful gospel singing. And I think that's really what David wants to happen here. He doesn't want to be singing a solo. He wants us to be part of the flash mob. He wants us to be united in the choir. That's the way in which we're supposed to go out into the world. We're supposed to be united. That's what Jesus prayed for, wasn't it, in John chapter 17, that we would be united, that we would be one. So that when the world sees that we are one, when the world sees that we are united, they will believe in Jesus Christ. So we are to serve God's mission by sharing the truth. We are to serve God's mission by being united as the people of God. And we're to do all of this in joy and gladness. Did you notice that? Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. That's the crux of this whole psalm. It's a psalm of praise. The mission is about praise and it's done in praise. Our mission should be done out of a motivation of thankfulness. Out of grateful joy that we know that we've been saved. That's what Jesus said to the missionaries that he sent out in Luke chapter 10. If you remember the story, these guys come back to Jesus and they're excited. They're excited about the power. You should have seen the things that we saw. The amazing things that we were able to do as we preached in the power of Jesus' name. And Jesus said, yeah, but that's not what you should be excited about. That's not what you should be rejoicing about. Not the power. You should be rejoicing that your names are written in heaven. That should be the motivation of our mission. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. But you know, I want to just close by saying that there may be some of you here this morning and perhaps you don't feel like singing out in joy. Perhaps you don't feel very glad. Perhaps you don't feel like joining in this song of praise. Because, you know, life is tough. Relationships can be difficult. Work can be tiring. Maybe some people are struggling with the pressure of looking for work. Maybe some people are struggling with loneliness, family feuds. Maybe some of you are struggling with illness. Maybe some of you are mourning. And here, you've come to church this morning and we've opened up this psalm and it says, let the peoples praise you. Let all the peoples praise you. Be glad, sing for joy. God shall bless us. So let's praise God. And maybe you're just struggling to join in with that song of praise this morning. Well, if you've still got your Bible open, maybe you could just turn back a page to Psalm 66. And this is a psalm that initially sounds very familiar to Psalm 67. It begins, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. If you jump to verse 8, you see that the psalmist is still singing out in praise. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. But then, if you look at verse 10, for you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. I remember hearing these words being preached at Word Alive last year, and you think to yourself, is that really in the Bible? You know, can you imagine if David and the band stepped up this morning and they said, we're going to teach you a new song. And it goes like this, bless the Lord, O my soul, who has led us into the net. O praise the name of the Lord our God, for he laid a crushing burden on our backs. You would think that they got the words wrong. I think it's fair to say that if we did sing this psalm, it would be sung in a minor key. But you know, I think it's important as Christians that we learn to sing these psalms that are in the minor key. We sing Psalm 67 and we know that all of the good things, all of the joyful things, all of the glad things are under God's fatherly care. But you know, Psalm 66 teaches us that all of the times of sorrow, all of the difficult times, all of the times of stress, that's also under God's fatherly care. God has a plan for us, and I think part of what it means for us to mature as Christians is that we learn to sing in that minor key. Do you know, God's work of salvation doesn't just end the day that we accept Christ as our Saviour. No, the Bible tells us that God continues to work in us. He's sanctifying us. And part of that means that every pain that you're feeling, every tear, every sorrow, every moment of opposition, every loss, every difficulty, every moment of confusion, that is seen and it's taken and it's used by God as he refines us like silver, as the psalmist says, that we may ultimately bring him glory. God is working in your suffering. You know, I love the way that the great preacher Charles Spurgeon once put it. He said, I have learned to kiss the waves that throw me on the rock of ages. You may be going through a time of suffering. You may be struggling. As the psalmist says, you may feel like you've been led into the net. You may feel like you've got a crushing burden on your back. You may feel like people are walking all over you. Let me tell you, God still wants to hear your voice in the choir this morning. So let's make his ways known. Let's sing of his saving power. Let's praise God. And as we do that, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Amen.